If you have your Bibles, why don't you open them with me to the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. I know you probably already know that verse. You probably don't need your Bible to follow along with this message, but why don't we do that just so we will. You know, it is such an honor and a privilege to be here this morning. This is the first pulpit that I preached at as I was growing up. Can do as a husband that will ever lift, raise to the level of the millions of love stories that she watches. You all think I'm joking. She subscribes to the Hallmark Channel. There's a subscription service. But get this. There's a special add-on just for the love story movies. You can stream them because apparently they make about a billion of those a year. And so she subscribes to that and she watches them day and night. If we're not doing something together, if I'm not home, I'll come home and there will be, they all look the same. It's like the same actor acts in every one. There's that guy that I've seen before. There's that woman that I've seen before and they're falling in love over a horse ranch. I don't know. She loves love stories. And I'll tell you, I'm a big, strong, tough man, but a love story's okay now and then. It's all right. In fact, let me share with you a love story this morning. Let me tell you a really, really brief one as I open this message. There was a young woman who lived in England many years ago, and she always wore a golden locket around her neck. And she would not allow anyone to ever open that locket and see what was inside. Now, everyone around town, they just assumed that this was the picture or the image of the one she loved. And that there must be some tragic tale there where he can't love her back. And so they just go on in sadness. Well, she died at a young age. And they finally got to open that locket. And when they opened the locket, assuming they would see the picture of some young man, instead they found a simple little piece of paper. And on that paper were the words written, "Whom having not seen, I love." It turns out that the love of her life and the only love she needed was her Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we can talk this morning about love stories and we can get all ooey-gooey and lovey-dovey if we want to. But you know that what I just read to you, by the way, the verse, everybody has got this memorized, I learned it right here in this church. I learned it right downstairs in one of those little classrooms. That verse that I just read to you, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is the greatest love story ever told. It's the best one. There will never be a love story on Hallmark Channel or anywhere else that'll ever compare to the thought, to the idea that God so loved the world that He took on flesh, mortality, as Brother Rick said, and He came to earth to die for you. Now, I could just stop right there and we could shout a while, right? I mean, that's just the greatest truth there is, the greatest love story ever told. But I want to go a little bit deeper this morning for just the next few moments. I want to share three thoughts with you about this love story that I hope will help encourage you, strengthen your belief, strengthen your faith. And if you don't know about this love story, if you've never made it personal for your life, I hope that it will invite you to make it your own love story this morning. And the first thought I'll share with you is this fact that God is an immense love. Can I say that again? You didn't hear me wrong. I didn't say God loves. I said God is an immense love. This verse here, John chapter 3, verse 16, it begins as the way this love story could only begin. For God. Those are the first two words of this verse. For God. And we know that that is the God of heaven and earth. Folks, the great truth of the Bible is that before there was anything else, and I'm a walker, don't get scared, okay? I can't do this anymore at my church because we record it all, and I have to stay in that little box right there, like a pitcher zone. Can't get out of it. But I can walk around a little bit, hopefully. I won't go too close because it's COVID. All right, I'll stay up here. The great truth of the Bible is that before there was anything, there was God. Amen? He's before everything. In fact, I learned from Brother Darrell Parker in his Sunday school class, Brother Darrell, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. And we're taught that, and we know that. That before time existed, before anything existed, there was God. He is, He was, and He ever will be. In fact, everything that's created has come from Him. Amen? We know that. Now, you can ask me questions about that. You can say, well, Josh, what about this? What about this? What about this? And I can't answer all those questions, but I can tell you that everything that is came from God today. And I'll say this. This God who always has been and who was before everything, who is our Creator and our Maker, He does not change. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, He's speaking to Moses through the burning bush. Moses asks, God, if You want me to go to Israel, who should I tell them has sent me? And God says, you will tell them, I am that I am has sent you. Thus you will say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Notice that that was not an I was or not an I will be, but an I am. Folks, this is mind-blowing stuff. You already probably know it. Every time I learn it, it excites me every time I get to restudy it because it's such a wonderful truth. God has always been and He never changes. And the way that you and I perceive things, you know, I'm looking around. The last time I preached homecoming here, I think some of y'all might have had a little bit more hair. You know, I think some of y'all, your hair was a little bit darker, right? You change, right? I change. You're here all saying, oh, Pastor, look at you. Don't look at my hairline, right? God ain't like that though, right? He's not like that. God is the same today that He was in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. He's never changed. And He never will. And this emphasizes His complete separation from who and what we are. Like I said, we grow, we change, we fail, we succeed, we develop. If you're looking at me, you might be saying, Josh, you look a little bit more robust than the last time I saw you, right? I look different. You look different. That's just the way it is. That's how time affects us. But not God. God is exactly the same. Now, you might be saying, Pastor Josh, Preacher Josh, why are you hitting this so hard? Because here's what this means. This means that the God who was and who is and who He has been in all times and who He is forever will be, has no chance of ever changing. And so that begs the question, who is God? And the answer is, God is love today. God is love. The Bible tells us, I love the scriptures that we have. The Bible tells us that He loved us before time. Ephesians 1:4, Paul writes, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He loved you before you even existed. Before even anyone knew about you, He loved you. But do you know that the Bible also tells us that He will love us after time? What's that, Pastor? Did y'all know that one day, it might be coming pretty close, I don't know. Did y'all know that one day, time will roll up like a scroll and it won't even exist anymore? Time's something God created here for this world. And there will be a time after time. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 4, I believe. The scriptures say, verse 10, says this, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but My kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of My peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. God loves you. God loves us because He is love. He has always loved us, and He always will. And that's a wonderful thought this morning, that this God is an immense love. God has not merely determined to be a God of love. He is love. And His supreme desire is to show loving kindness, favor, and mercy to every person who will accept it. That's who God is this morning. And nothing will ever change that. Now, you and I, we have a hard time really comprehending this. You know, we think in terms of what have you done for me lately? right? You and I, you know, if I'm talking to you today, and you know, we have a little exchange, and then I say something weird or something that you know, maybe I'm an idiot, by the way. I can't talk, okay? And so I might mess up, or I might say the wrong thing, or I might get your name wrong. I got Kenneth's name wrong. I called his brother Kenneth earlier today. All right, that exchange may color your perception of me. Well, he don't even remember me. You know, he doesn't even know who I am. And that will affect maybe how you feel toward me in future days and weeks to come. You might think, well, I don't know about Josh anymore, huh? I don't know about that guy. That's how we think. That's how we think love is. You know, love is common as a transaction. I love you, you love me, and that involves some give and take on both sides, right? That's what we understand as love. God doesn't have those qualifications on His love. God simply is love. And nothing you will ever do will ever change how much He loves you. Ever. And we just cannot understand that. We cannot comprehend that. Sometimes we think, well, I've not been in church for a while, or I've not been reading my Bible as I should. I've not been praying as I ought. You know, God must be angry with me. Well, listen, God can be disappointed with you. God certainly has commandments for you and desires, by the way, that are not just so that you do what He says, but are actually for your betterment and for your own good. But none of that changes how He feels about you. And what He feels for you is an immense love. God has declared that His attitude doesn't change as a man's changes. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Folks, the Scripture said, for God so loved. And so that's the truth. The world will burn. Nothing will change that. He loves you. He loves me. I want you to know that this morning. God is love. Now, let's go a little bit further. God is not only an immense love, but number two, God loves this whole messed up world. Let's develop that a little bit further. We talked about how nothing we can do will change how He feels about us. Let's go a little bit deeper into that. Folks, I want you to understand that everything that the world is, God is not. Everything that God is, the world is not. We couldn't have two more extreme opposites. You lay up God on one side, you lay up the world on the other, and you compare them, and there will be almost nothing that's similar about the two. The world is full of sin and death and rebellion and lies and murder and hatred, and God is none of that. He's none of it. In fact, the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ being the Son of God, being God, when He came into this world, it testifies to the reality of this fact. The differences couldn't be any more clear. Speaking of Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 5, He says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You go on in that same passage, verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. The very ones who should have accepted Him, the very ones who should have recognized who He was, who had been told for decades, centuries, that He was coming, they rejected Him because they were of the world. Jesus Himself says in John 15, verse 18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated Me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you His own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Folks, the story's clear. That God created, that God loves, and yet His creation rejected Him. And in so doing, they didn't just reject Him, they rejected love. You understand what that means, don't you? We live in a world where people can say, oh, okay, you believe in God, that's your truth. I respect that. But that's not my truth. Okay? He doesn't really exist for me. Have you not heard that before in sharing your faith with people? Is it not constantly on social media, Facebook, Twitter, all that? But the reality is that you can't just take God, put him in a box and say, well, he's not for me. Like he's spinach or something. You don't like spinach. So I just won't have any of that. That ain't how this works. God is immense love. He's life and his truth. And if you reject him, you're not just rejecting some made up religious concept. You are rejecting real love. You are rejecting real truth. You're rejecting real life. Folks, I've had the world's truth, haven't you? You turn on the news cycle 24/7. All it is, constant spewing lies. That's all it is lies. Telling you how you should feel, how you should be, and none of it is for your good. That's the world's truth that they accept and reject the real truth. I've had the world's life. The world will say, hey, come, spend some time. Live it up. You've only got one life, right? YOLO, let's do it. Let's make it. Hey, who cares about the consequences? Let's just live. This is all you've got. Just totally reject the thought that actually there is a life beyond this life. And it's very much worth living for. In fact, the life of this world is nothing but death. And that's it. Constant death. Because at the end of all your experiences, all of your enjoyment, you lay in a bed alone, cold, and you die. And you go to a place where you are separated from God for all eternity. That's death. And folks, I've had the world's love. I'm telling you, the world's love, that's the worst thing of all. The world will love you as far as they can use you, abuse you, and dispose of you. They don't have anything for you that's good for you. All they have is things that are good for themselves. So you see, when you make the choice to reject God, God's love is real love. God's truth is real truth, the only truth. God's life is real life. It's the only life. And when you reject His love, you reject all of it, His truth and His life. And where does that leave you? For God so loved the world, is the scripture. And now that begs the question, laid out all these realities about what the world is and how they've rejected Him. How, you know, when you choose the world, you choose everything that is opposite from God. And yet, we have a God, it says in the scripture, for God so loved the world. A world that did not choose Him. A world that did not want Him. A world that was nothing like Him. Folks, we know God's love is real love. And this is, I'll say this, I'll move on. We know God's love is real love because when the world didn't love Him, He still loved the world. Everything I just shared with you is the reality, but He loves the world anyway. But then it goes on. Not only is God immense love, not only does He love this whole messed up world, but, and this is where it gets personal, I tell my church, this is where we get to shouting ground. God loves you more than you can imagine. That's the third point. Because this scripture goes on. Look at this. I love this. Who's the actor for God? God's the actor. He's the one in control. He's the primary participant of this verse. The verse goes on. The object. What's He doing? He loves. What's the object of His love? The world. God is the actor. God so loves the world. But then it goes on to the consequences. How much did He love? He gave His only begotten Son. And then who gets the benefit? That whosoever believeth in Him. Folks, this verse contains my favorite word in the Bible. Y'all know my favorite word in the Bible is? Whosoever. You know why? Because that's me. That means me. That means you. That means all of us here in this room, we are included in the whosoever. Folks, it's one thing to say that God loves the world and know that and understand that theologically, right? That's a truth that we can say, yeah, God loves the world, sure. But it's a whole different thing
to understand the reality that God loves you so much He died on a cross. And that's where it becomes real between you and Him. You can have a knowledge that God is love. You can have a knowledge that He loves the world and He gave His Son. But until you know it personally in your own heart, your relationship with Him is broken. John 3:16 promises that everything that we just said, this is so beautiful, I love this. Everything we just said about the incredible love of God for the world is true about old Josh McKinney. It's true about old Mike Bays. It's true about Pastor Will. Everything that is kept in the Scripture about the love of God, it is for us personally. And in fact, God loves you so much that He gave up His greatest treasure just to see you saved. Jesus willingly came to the earth to give His life. Jesus Himself said in the book of John 15, verse 13 through 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Folks, you're one of those friends that He died for some 2,000 years ago. What are you saying? Are you saying He knew my name? Yes, He did. He was the Son of God. Are you saying He thought about my life and my sins on the cross? Absolutely. As the wrath of God was poured upon Him as He hung between heaven and earth, He hung there for you and for me. He loves you personally so much that He died to make you a friend. This morning, you can be a friend of God. God gave His only Son, look at the words, so that you might not perish. He gave Him up to death so that you might have life. Have you ever heard this Scripture read with that much intention? Listen, you can sit in church for years and hear John 3:16. We hear it just about every week, just about. But have you ever considered just how important it could be to you and to your life? Because this is not just some theological, philosophical truth. No, it's a reality for you. That God did all of this just to reach you. He loves you that much. Folks, I'll say this and then I'll start to close. Can I just submit to you this morning that there is nothing that has ever happened to you in your entire life that is better than what I just read. Many years ago, let me emphasize that. Many years ago, just so you know, my mother-in-law, Mrs. Ray back there, she won a sweepstakes from Food City. She didn't even know she had entered. She just walked in the door, I think, right, sis? And they said, guess what? You win $10,000. Let me emphasize, that was a long time ago. She can't help you out. It's all gone, all right? It's gone. Many years ago. But that's a pretty good day, right? You go to the grocery store for some milk or something, and guess what? You won $10,000. That's pretty awesome, right? I say to you, that could have been 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000. And that would not even reach halfway, not even a fourth, to how good it is that Jesus loves you. There is nothing better on earth that could possibly happen to you. Listen, we live life. We have plans. We have directions. We work for things. We earn things. That's how life is. That's what it's like. And that's fine to have those type of ambitions and those types of focuses and intentions. But I'm going to tell you this morning, the best thing that's ever possible to happen to you 2,000 years ago when Christ died on a cross for you. I don't know how I can say it any more clear. There was a family eating at a Chinese restaurant. They had a little girl. Her name was Helen. She was 3 years old. They all, at the end of their meal, began to open up their fortune cookies, right? And read their fortunes. Of course, we know that that's all nonsense, but hey, it's fun. Let's see what our lucky numbers are, right? The little girl, wanting to be involved, picked up her cookie. She opened it up. She crumpled it. She didn't care about the cookie. She pulled out the little paper. And she said, I'm going to read my fortune. She's 3 years old. She can't read. But she holds it up proudly. And you know what she says? Jesus loves me. That's not what it said. But does it matter? It's right. Because that's the most fortunate thing that has ever happened to her. She's 3 years old. She doesn't even fully understand it. But nothing better will ever happen to her. And the fact that Christ loves her and gave His life for her so that she could live with Him forever in heaven. Folks, God is an immense love. He loves this whole messed up world. But more importantly, greater than that, God loves you more than you can imagine. And listen, I know what the devil's saying to many of your hearts this morning. Well, what about this? What about this sin in my life? What about this addiction I have? What about this hardship that I just can't seem to shake? Guess what? God already knows all about it. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes we do things and we worry about what people think about us. You don't ever have to worry about that with God. God knows everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, and everything that you ever will do. And guess what? Guess what? God sendeth His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Nothing better, folks, this homecoming morning. I'll end with a story, and then we'll have an invitation if our musicians want to come. There was a man who had committed a crime, and he got caught. And unfortunately, this man, he had done so well at hiding this crime that none of his family, none of his friends, none of his co-workers, no one in the world knew about this crime until he was tried, convicted, and sent to prison. The people in his life were so shocked, they were so hurt by what he had done, that it seemed like all of them had pulled away from him. And just couldn't process why he had did it, why he had betrayed their trust. Except for one friend. One friend would visit him daily, weekly, in prison. And during one of these visits, this man confessed to him, "You're the only friend that I have left." Folks, when people do bad things, we tend to think that they're getting what they deserve. Right? Isn't that our first instinctual thought? Oh, well, you know, them's the ropes. You reap what you sow. Right? He did the crime, now he's got to do the time. In fact, we ourselves might have done the same abandoning that I just described in this story, as though those who've done us wrong are no longer worth our love. But can I tell you right now, folks, that when you were at your most rotten, when you were at your most unlovable, when you were at your most far apart shape that you had ever been in your entire life, even in that lowly, disgusting state, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me, knowing my life, knowing my sins, when I'd just fallen about as low as I could possibly fall, do you know who came from heaven just to reach you? Jesus Christ. He came because you are so loved. You're so loved. If you didn't hear anything else I said this morning, if you didn't hear anything else that I had to say, and that's fine, I understand, I'm a lot, I yell, I move around, it's fine. I want you to know this. You are so loved this morning that Christ gave up heaven to die for you. And today, if you want a relationship with this God who loves you so much, it's as easy as you saying, "God, I want to make you the Lord of my life. Forgive me for my sins. And be my Lord forever." And you can walk out of here a child of God, part of the family of God. Don't I have to do something? No. Jesus already did it all. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in Him. You bow your heads and close your eyes. Would our musicians begin to play? In just a moment, I'm going to pray. I know this is homecoming, and it's been a good homecoming, in my opinion. I've enjoyed the music. I've enjoyed the sweet spirit. I've certainly enjoyed the fellowship. But I just want to say this morning, before we leave, before we go, we were singing and talking about this homecoming that'll come someday in the future. And it's going to be a wonderful homecoming. We're going to see people that we have not seen in years. And they will be just as young as they were in the prime of their youth. We will talk the ages through, like I sang. And above it all will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll just kind of enjoy homecoming today. We've done it for like maybe an hour and a half, maybe an hour, 15 minutes, maybe an hour and a half. In that day, we'll do homecoming for 10,000 years. And then the next day, we might do another one. But there's one important part that we must not miss. You cannot just die and go there. You have to put your faith and trust in the one who died to make the way possible for you. And so as we pray this morning, I'm just going to invite you, if you want to come to the altar, you can. I know we're in COVID. If you want to stay where you're at and pray, that's just fine too. But we're going to pray to God. We're going to ask Him to bless this church, ask Him to bless these people. And we're going to ask Him, if there's anyone here that He's speaking to, would He save them? And if today's the day that you need to put it right with Him, I hope today you'll make that choice. Let's pray. King Jesus, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the blessings of life. We thank You for another year. God, how good You are that You've helped us all survive and thrive and live through the many months of darkness that we've come through in this pandemic. And God, it's such a blessing to be here amongst friends that we've not seen in such a long time, and to have this fellowship and just enjoy the sweet spirit. But God, there's something even more important than all of that that we need to do this morning. If there's a soul, if there's a life, if there's a heart this morning that can hear the truth, can hear about the love, but can honestly say, God, I've never experienced it. I've never humbled myself, confessed my sins, put my faith and trust in Your Son, Jesus. If there's a person this morning who can say that's them, I pray right now, before we end this prayer, they'll come forward to this altar and pray. I'll pray with them. Brother Mike will. Someone else, whoever. We'll make it right with the Lord this morning. If they don't want to come to the altar, I pray, God, right where they're at, in their pews, God, they'll call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's my favorite word. Whosoever. Me, you, whoever in between. We can call upon the name of the Lord this morning. God, I love You. I thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings of life. I thank You, God, for this time we've had together. And I pray now You might use us all for the building and the uplifting of Your kingdom. I pray, God, that You will write John 3:16 on our hearts, that, God, we will go from this place just saying it to every person we meet, every person we get introduced to. God, it's so important that people hear the gospel and realize that God loved them so much, He died on a cross. Give us that courage. Give us that opportunity. Give us that boldness. And we'll give You the glory and honor for it. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. All the people said, amen and amen.